another episode of Side Hustle City, the podcast that helps you turn your side hustle into your main hustle, with your hosts, Adam Kaler and Kyle Stevie. Welcome back, everybody, to the Side Hustle City podcast. Again, I'm joined by my trusty co-host here, Kyle Stevie.
Yes, and today we have an esteemed alum from the greatest college in the universe.
Which one is that?
Hanover College.
Oh, Hanover College. Okay.
Yeah, Hanover College. Forget the rest.
MIT, Harvard, those don't matter. It's Hanover.
No, Harvard is Hanover the East.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Now tell me a little bit about like how you met.
Just in passing in college. Just saying hi. She was with the popular group. I was a nobody.
False.
So we used
False.
To take some class.
Kyle was nice to everybody, and I always appreciated that.
Well, you gotta pay for your friends. So I would just will you talk to me, please? Here's like my meal plan. You can have my lunch.
Kyle's the most self-defeating person on this podcast. Kyle, he likes to beat himself up, but in reality, he's out here doing stuff. And I don't believe him. I don't believe half the stuff he says about himself.
Well, it's true.
It is. He said it's true. So, Bethan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you do. What is your side hustle?
So full-time, I work for a Big Ten university, in administration. And my side hustle, which I started roughly 4 years ago, is with a woman-owned certified B corporation called Beauty Counter.
Oh.
And when I launched my business on Facebook, my closest friend in town sent me a note and said, "Your Facebook's been hacked. Somebody has hacked into your Facebook and is posting about some beauty company. It's no joke." And she's now one of my biggest supporters.
Okay, so I'm interested to hear more about this. My wife actually owns a spa, and it's all about facials. So she used to do, you know, the massages and the trim the eyebrows and do all that stuff, but she's done. Because the facial thing, she wants to be doing that full time. It's got the most, you know, it has the most positive effect on people's lives, I think, and long-term effects. And she works to heal their skin. So she's kind of anti-Botox and anything like plastic surgery related. She doesn't think people need that. She's always talking about healing the acid mantle and the epidermis, maybe? Epidermis?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, you probably know a lot more about this than I do, even though I live with a esthetician. But yeah, she has like 900 clients, and most of them are, you know, wealthy women that want to still look good. So she does a lot of work on them, and she uses a product called DMK, and it's really popular in Australia, and now it's getting more popular in Europe, but it's out of Los Angeles and California. It's got a little buzz around it, and it's starting to grow. But she's one of the only people here that actually uses it. But they have a pretty big product line, and you know, she's been successful with it. But you probably know a little bit about skincare and everything, right? Is that what is your focus?
Well, I think of it more as a mission.
Oh,
so it's funny. My sister, when I also told her that I was starting this business, she's like, "You would come visit me in New York, and I'd have to take you into the store and get you a lipstick because all you brought with you was chapstick." Yes, me. So really, it's a lifestyle. And I think your wife sounds like her business is predicated on much the same model, which is that so much of the industry focuses on efficacy. And the US regulations are woefully behind other developed nations in providing safety precautions for basically regulating out use of chemicals that are known to be harmful to human health. The legislation that regulates the personal care product industry, now a multi-billion dollar industry, was enacted, I think, in 1938. It's a page and a half. It's never been updated.
Oh.
So we have a real issue. We have, you know, I'm not necessarily one to always badger on for more regulation, but in this case, we have ingredients that are absolutely known to be harmful to human health. They're illegal in other developed nations, perfectly fine to use them here. We deal with corporations who have different formulas for the same product sent to different countries because our regulations are so much more lax. And some of it just has to do with it's less expensive. And part of what make it less expensive is that a lot of these ingredients are preservatives. Beauty Counter focuses on safety and efficacy, and also takes a fair amount of their profit and reinvests it in advocacy. So a lot of people say, well, you claim to be such a mission-oriented company, but not everybody can afford your product line. We are high-performing luxury products. We cannot necessarily meet everybody at where they need to be in terms of price point. But what I always say is that for those who cannot afford Beauty Counter, they benefit from the fact that the company exists, because we invest heavily in advocacy to make sure that there are better health protective laws for everybody.
Okay. And I know my wife, she has to, like, the only way for people to get the products is to actually come to her and get an evaluation, and then she can recommend which products would be best for them based on, you know, their age, how, you know, you got oily skin, you got dry skin. There's all this stuff that I guess she has to do, and I don't want to speak for her because I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of products out there, and most of the stuff that you're going to buy over counter is not very good. She cracks up about, like, all this stuff, and that's not really going to help people. They're spending a lot of money on something that's not really going to be useful. I'm sure some of those illegal substances potentially are floating around in some of these over-the-counter things too, right?
Well, let me be clear. They're legal in the United States. That's part of the problem. They shouldn't be.
They're just terrible.
So the idea of Beauty Counter is to get safer products into the hands of everybody, which is, one, also just creating awareness. So, so much of my personal brand, if you will, as a consultant, I'm a senior director with the company, is talking about healthy living and making people aware that, you know, it doesn't take much for an entrepreneur to create a product and put it on the shelves in a store. So it's really up to us as consumers to be aware of what's in our ingredient labels. So the benefit of shopping with a company like Beauty Counter is not just the fact that the profits are reinvested in advocacy, and that the company cares deeply about having a sustainable supply chain, fair wages, sustainable production and distribution, buying carbon offsets where they need to. But also, you don't have to do the research. The research is done for you. You know, I think the US bans roughly 30 ingredients. I think the UK bans 14, or excuse me, the European Union bans 1,400 ingredients.
Whoa.
Beauty Counter bans 1,800 ingredients. And that's because either they are known to be harmful to human health, or they don't have enough information to make a decision about the potential health implications. So when you're shopping at Beauty Counter, you don't have to worry about the ingredients. You know that that's part of the actual, it's built into the business of what you're buying. It is safe, and it is as effective as can possibly be while also being safe.
So you guys are striking that fine balance between giving people what they need and, you know, providing this high quality product, and, you know, you got price points that you're trying to stay at that people can't, they just say they can't do it. So it's kind of like you guys are what everybody wants. You're sustainable. You are, you know, green, for lack of a better term, like in terms of healthcare, like your actual physical health, you're green. You don't have the preservatives. You don't have those things that can potentially, you know, just inundate your skin with toxins. So, but you've also got to, you know, in order to make a profit of some sort, you have to charge a higher price. So that's the thing that we.
But I do want to say is that our prices for luxury products are absolutely competitive. So if you're going to go to a Sephora or an Ulta and buy any other luxury brand, our product pricing is absolutely competitive.
I was just going to say, I was coming at it as people got to kind of, you kind of have to pick and choose, like,
there's a balance.
What you want.
Yeah.
Do you want that company that's giving you what you're on Twitter all about and Facebook all about? Like, people need to be being paid $15 an hour. People need to be paid. People need to be able to have products that are protecting them and not hurting them. But I don't want to pay what I have to pay for it. So I think it's awesome that they're owning it. It's like, no, look, this is what we're doing. It is a luxury item, but we've gone through all of this. Like, our people are getting paid a fair wage. This isn't slave labor making our product. We're not hiding anything in our ingredient list. We've actually gone above and beyond what the EU's done. And we have 400 more ingredients that we've kicked off because we just don't know whether they're harmful or not. They may be beneficial. We don't know because there hasn't been enough research.
And that touches on a really important point, which is transparency. So a couple of points to make on transparency when it comes to the personal care product industry is Beauty Counter is 100% transparent. You can get online and read every single ingredient in the product. I have somebody whose son has a citrus allergy. So citric acid isn't always derived from citrus. So I said, okay, these particular products, can you tell me where these ingredients are derived from? And it turned to come back and say that these were derived from corn. So it was safe for use. So they are, Forbes has noted that they are one of the corporations that has the deepest understanding of their supply chain. The other thing I want to say about transparency is that there are loopholes. So for example, if you go home and look at your any of the products you use, oftentimes you'll see fragrance. Well, that's a corporate loophole. And what that means is anything that is deemed a part of their fragrance recipe, so to speak, is proprietary. So they don't have to tell you what's in it. So you can understand what corporations do then, is that they're just lumping any number of ingredients that may also be fillers or preservatives or any number of other things. And they don't have to disclose that they're using it in the product because they're saying it's part of their fragrance formula. And that's proprietary.
How sneaky.
God bless IP.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's another thing. You call it greenwashing, where it'll say all natural, you know, or even it might use the word organic, but it doesn't have the USDA certified organic logo.
But people don't look at that. You have to really read the fine print. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I see where you guys are coming from.
Organic isn't always healthy.
No, exactly. Just because it says it, I mean, unless it's proven or it has that seal, then, and a lot of people aren't going to look at it. They're just going to look at the front label and they're going to see, oh, organic, this is the one I want. And I think there's always a balance. And I think what people don't understand about companies like yours is, you know, you're out here doing all this research, you're putting this effort into making sure these products, I mean, this is saving people time. So yes, you may pay a little more for the product, but it's also saving you your time. Like, what is your time worth that you would normally spend scouring the internet? And then even if you did all that and you found all these things, you're not going to find anything else in America that you can use. Like, once you actually do the research on your own, if it wasn't for a company like this that's providing that stuff, who else is going to do it? I mean, are you going to go out here and formulate your own?
The intrinsic benefit to me then is part of network marketing is that while it is a side hustle and it's helping my family, the act of what I'm doing and creating awareness in the minds of people that I know and care about, many of them now are thinking about things that before wouldn't have been a part of their natural decision-making process. And so whether they buy Beauty Counter or not, I have won in serving the mission that is ultimately really valuable to me. And for those who ultimately decide that Beauty Counter is a good fit for them, then that's just a double win.
Nice.
But, you know, the business model is really smart because it's a consumable product. So it's a great way not only to actually help people and work for a company that's also built with, you know, a certified B Corporation as an actual legal structure whereby the trustees of the corporation are told and the business is built around not just profit, but balancing the needs of people, planet, and profit when they make their business decisions. So we're constantly doing things like trying to use more glass because glass is infinitely recyclable, trying to source the glass with the actual product and the formulation of the product close together to reduce carbon footprint and any number of things. Also, a lot of our makeup compacts are made of Forest Stewardship Certified to be sustainably sourced paper. So instead of a plastic compact, ours, you can pop the actual little metal piece out that would come from, I can show you, although I know the listeners won't be able to see it. You can pop the little metal out that holds the actual product when it's empty, And then the rest of this, where I take the mirror out, it's just paper. I can compost it. Nice. So I have a compost service that comes, and I'm not adding to the landfill.
That's interesting. Yeah. And I mean, yes, you are a luxury product. You're a luxury product because, you know, you think about the quality of the ingredients, and you do have to charge a little bit more for that. But a lot of times companies like yours, and I would suspect that you guys do this, you try to keep the price. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into this. It could probably cost a lot more if you guys were concerned about profit as much. But you have to make a profit in any business, but you don't have to gouge. And the fact that you can get a product that's been thought through this much. I mean, even the packaging is compostable. I mean, that's thinking, right? That shows you, even little things like that show you, hey, this is a company that's actually cared about everything, and they didn't just throw something in plastic.
They're putting their money where their mouth is.
They're putting their money where their mouth is, but they're also thinking about those things, the little things like, hey, this packaging could be composted. I mean, who thinks of that, right?
Or just eliminating packaging.
But you could be cheap.
It's unnecessary.
Well, you could go cheap on that. You could just talk about the product and go cheap on the packaging to save money, but they didn't do that, right? They said, hey, if we're going to live this mission, we're going to live it. And this is branding, right? This is good branding. Like, as a branding person and a marketing person, this is the kind of company I want to work with, because they're not just saying, hey, look, we're going to talk about the product and we're going to make the product all good and everything, but then, you know, we're still going to use cheap plastic, and we're still going to use, you know, overseas labor, and we're still going to, you know, and then we're going to be able to charge more because it's a luxury product, but we're going to make more profit because we're going to cut back on some of these other areas that people don't pay attention to.
That's what I was trying to get at with my rambling before, was that you guys are selling to the conscience. I mean, how do I even co-host on this? Freaking speak.
Yeah.
The conscience of this consumer that says, you know, you're buying a damn good product, and you want to feel damn good about yourself after, you want to look good, but you also want to rattle off about all these special things that you do for the community and the world, and all the people that can afford.
It's a marketing thing a lot of times. Yeah.
They're actually like doing it. So
well, it sounds like it. Yeah.
Right. So that's what's awesome about it, is that they've got a leg up on the competition, and making the consumers look within themselves and thinking, are you really like in this? Like, are you who you say you are, or are you full of shit?
Are you authentically trying to do this, or are
right.
you?
Beauty Counter is leading the clean beauty industry. That's absolutely for sure. And I mean, it speaks a lot to our CEO. It's a woman named Greg Renfrew. We're based out of Santa Monica, California. She's just a badass. You know, she's testified in front of Congress. She's got a vision. She stands by it. And her principles guide that vision in terms of, like you said, you know, sometimes they have to make expensive decisions because something doesn't show up right. Like, we tried to launch some very specialized hair products, and it didn't work. They just didn't sell enough. But in the launch phase, they found something in some of the formulas, and rather deal with it after the fact, they just immediately sent out a recall and said, we're so sorry. Until we can get this right and we know that there's no safety issues, we are refunding you, or you can choose to have it resent to you when we relaunch. So they're extremely proactive in the safety regard.
So you just touched on something that, because we have people that listen to this generally leaning more towards beginning or thinking about being entrepreneurs, not CEOs of a major beauty supply line. What you just touched on was culture of your corporation. And it starts from the top down. And that's what I want everybody to be aware of, is that your company is what you are inside of your company. How you act is how your employees are going to act. So you can have the greatest motto, and you can have the greatest corporate whatever principles and stuff that you write out so everybody
mission,
sees
it. Vision.
Yeah. When they walk through the doors, they're like, oh, look at this. So 5 steps to being a successful whatever. But if you don't have the person that's walking the walk and talking the talk every single day, everybody's going to see through that. And everybody's going to be like, when they come around and give their speech, everybody's going to clap. But once the person leaves the room, they're going to gossip behind the person's back. Like, this guy's so full of it. This is garbage.
Jumps in his Hummer and takes off. And
right. I'm going to do me. Yeah. That's what it turns into. It turns into a corporation of, I'm going to do me. I'm going to make my money, you know, forget everybody else. But when you have someone like that, like they have, where she saw that her reputation was going to be smeared if this potentially even got out, not even just the reputation that somebody got hurt, God forbid, for something, I don't know, whatever would have happened. I doubt it was that serious. But the fact is that they got it, they went into testing and have spent millions of dollars, I'm sure, in producing the product up until that point. And she saw before.
We do randomized sample testing on all products all the time to make sure that nothing sneaks into the formulas, either from raw ingredients or from unexpected interactions between raw ingredients.
But you also have a clear conscience, like as a leader, right? Like you're not producing some shady thing that you're always, you can't sleep at night because you know.
Well, and it makes it easy for me as a consultant because I believe deeply in the company, in our mission, and in our products. And the other thing I'll say about those who aren't necessarily looking to figure out how to be the CEO and launch the next major beauty brand is that's the brilliance of this side hustle is that, you know, I think right now we have a special, it's $50 where you can just have a bunch of, they'll give you digital assets to launch your business. You know, research actually shows that if you make an investment and buy some of the product, and we always say like products are employees, and if they're in your cabinet, they're not working for you. So sample them out, get them out there.
See, I'm not always a huge fan of the MLM kind of models though. Like I always feel like there's something weird about it. But when you talk about something like this, like my mom used to sell Avon for a while too, you know? And you talk about like that whole kind of like pyramid scheme is what people call them, right? The MLMs, the multi-level marketing stuff. Advocare, you probably know somebody who sold Advocare. You know, there's a lot of people online like pushing it on their social and things like that. In a way, it's almost like buying a franchise. So it's almost like, you know, me and you, if we went out and we bought a Chick-fil-A, right? People would be like, oh, good for you. You started a Chick-fil-A. Yeah, well, I had to spend some money, you know, and get picked or whatever. Or if you wanted to start even something smaller, like something Long John Silver's or something, you know, it's what, $150,000 probably to open one. And you spend a bunch of money to open a franchise of fast food or something. You're probably killing people by feeding them that stuff. But, you know, people look at that positively, but they look at something like this. Yeah, well, but what she's doing here is that you're starting out with something you believe in, for one thing, right? For two, it's almost like you're getting a franchise because, like she just said, they're providing you with a digital packet, right, of things to help you get your business off the ground, even if you don't have an MBA, right?
And then they give you ample amounts of training. Now, let me be clear. You got to work for it. This is not easy money. But it is very doable. But I think you all know as entrepreneurs yourself, easy money is a myth. It doesn't exist. You got to work for it.
No, it doesn't exist.
You've got to be consistent and you will get out of it over time. It will build. What I did was when I started my company, I decided I was going to give it a minimum of 30 minutes, 7 days a week. And
you structured it. You said, look, I'm going to do this
exactly
and I'm going
right.
to stick to it. That's actually good. Yeah.
And
talk about that a little bit. Where'd you learn that? Or what made you come to that conclusion that that's how you were going to structure your business or that's how you're going to structure your time?
That was what was realistic for me. My husband was in training. He's a pilot. He was spending several weeks doing his initial qualification in a different state. I've got three little kids. I had just started a new job that is more than full time. And I said, I want to do this. I believe in it. I want to get the tax write-off. I want to have the discount for the products for my family. And I want to see if I can make a go of making money. And so I just said, and my friend for whom I used to buy the products from, whose husband's a two-time cancer survivor.
Oh, wow.
And she discovered it because she just was on the internet thinking, I got to find stuff that works. She's the person for me who started opening my eyes to some of the things I needed to start being aware of and some of the more discerning things I needed to know and make conscious decisions about in my consumption of food and then personal products and so forth. And she's the one who said, you can slow, but don't stop.
And this is what got you to discover that this was a lifestyle. This isn't just a product that you're selling. This is part of a bigger lifestyle, a conscious decision for you to change the way you live to be healthy. And that's everything. Exactly, that's right. Things you put on your skin. That's things you consume. That's what's around your home. I mean, there's a lot
of stuff. Exercising daily. It is. Yeah. It is for me. It's you're exactly right. It's not just one thing. But, you know, the other thing I'll say is people say 30 minutes a day. I don't have 30 minutes a day. And mothers especially will say that because we've all got, I'm surprised I haven't had one coming in the door here since. But it doesn't have to be a consecutive 30 minutes is the way, if you can make a list of things that you can do that will help you move forward, then you have a visual to go to when you're like, I literally have 3 minutes right now.
Right.
And you just check one or two or six things off that list until you get interrupted and you've created forward progress for the day.
I always find it funny, and it happens a lot, is that even the busiest people, like, so when I was going to law school, I went at night. And so we were full of busy people, busy people. Because some people owned their own companies. Some people were high executives in their company, and they were doing this for to transfer into different areas, like Fifth Third, for one example. One of the ladies I went to school with was doing it for Fifth Third. And people would say, I don't have time. And you're kind of looking, you look at them, you're like, probably right. But then they would sit there and talk to you about the show they're watching.
Yeah.
And about how great it is, how great the show is on not just Sunday night, but how great this HBO series is on Tuesday night. And how great it is on Thursday night. And you're like, dude, that's 3 hours right there. You could have walked. You could have done anything.
Done something productive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Towards your goal.
I've never understood that. It's like,
micro goals will always get you there. If you can take some bigger task, I said this to a friend of mine who was overwhelmed because she has all these house projects. I'm like, okay, I totally get it. Pick one. Doesn't have to be a strategy behind which one you pick. Pick one. And then make a list of all the little things that need to be done for that. In this case, she picked her half bath in her house. And I'm like, now break it down into little things that you need to do. You've got to pick a vanity. You've got to pick a commode. You've got to pick towel bars. You got to pick a paint color. So just make a list and start doing them one little bit at a time. And suddenly you'll be ready.
Yeah, I need to do that with my people that are out here petitioning for me right now. One of my consultants, he told me, he's like, you just need 30 signatures a day. I got to get like 1,000 signatures by February 18th. And I got 20 something odd people out there right now. And we just wrote a bunch of them.
So that probably means you need to make lists.
Yeah.
And if you're going to want 30, it's a numbers game. You're going to have to probably ask 150 every day.
Yeah. And you say, okay, 30 a day. Then I've got 20 people out there doing it. That means each person has to get me, say, 2 signatures a day, right? Like, can you guys do that? Or whatever, right? But this is it. Just break things down.
It's the same in sales, right? People always think for example, to remain in a consultant status, you have to sell $1,200 every 6 months. And people sometimes always think, well, that's a lot of beauty counter. And you just got to break it down and say to people, well, one, that includes your own purchases for your family at your consultant discount, which are also, by the way, a tax write-off. Two, the average order is usually $100. Mm. So if you can just find 10 people in 6 months to place an order and you place an order, you're going to get there. It's just a series of behaviors.
Yeah. The baby steps are a lot more action. Okay. If we break that down, it's only this many a day. So that's not really that bad. Oh, it's $100 an order. Okay. Well, if I get to 1200, yeah. Okay. That's not bad. Right. Sell 12 days out of the month. I got to sell a $100 order. That seems more doable, right? I mean, literally, my wife has women that come to her that spend over $50,000 a year with her, getting facials and different skincare, like ordering products. About half of it is products.
I would say we have lots of estheticians that are consultants. I would say your wife would do very well to sign up to sell it and add it to her things that she offers in her suite and to mix in some of the products and what she's actually using in her treatments. And the thing is, I mean, it really, a lot of multi-level marketing companies say this. It is, beauty counter is not cultish. And I am somebody who, you know, my friend who started selling it just to get the discount because her husband's 2-time cancer survivor, stay-at-home mom, she's got a master's degree. She had her own private practice as a clinical psychologist. She now shut down her practice and is at the very top. She's a managing director and, you know, is making a very nice living off of Beauty Counter.
Well, so, and yeah, I mean,
but that's her goal and she loves it. For me, this is eternally a side hustle. I am equally as passionate and, but my passion for my side hustle also coincides with what I do working in research.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if my wife, I mean, you got a woman that comes in and gets her facial done and she spends, you know, an hour with my wife and then she gets these nice products and everything, but then she goes home and throws some crappy Sephora cheap brand on her face. Like that's like counterproductive to what she just did with my wife. Like my wife just healed her skin and then she goes back and she puts this garbage on her face. Like that's not helping. Like like you said, it's a lifestyle, right? Like you can't just go to the spa and expect everything to be better. Like there's other things in your life you're going to need to change if you want healthy skin. You're the biggest organ in your body, right?
That's exactly right. And this is another thing I want to say is it's so funny. A common reaction when it comes out that I have this business is this happened just a few weeks ago with a colleague who's male. And I said, oh, I actually have this side hustle. He has one too. And I said, you know, let me know, take a look. And he said, well, I'm not sure I'm your target market. And I said, do you have skin? Then you're my target market.
Yeah.
And I will say our men's line is priced a little differently because the penchant for men to invest in their skin is not quite there.
See, now you start talking about men. I mean, I was just going to say to Kyle, hey, good thing we don't have to worry about this. And apparently we do.
No, I had a Facebook and their damn Facebook pop-up pictures. I got one from 2004, but it posted in 2009. And I looked at myself and I was like, holy hell, man, maybe I shouldn't have been making fun of all those Metro guys that were getting facials and using all their lotions because I look like I'm 98 years old.
I know, dude. It's a lifestyle, bro.
I know a lot
bro.
Of men who use eye cream, especially.
Well, dude, Kyle needs to go out and get him a Merce and put a whole bunch of your products in his Merce. It's a lifestyle, Kyle.
Yeah, it is.
You start living downtown.
Yeah, I got to stop smoking cigars and
eat like, you know, boutique.
I don't smoke cigars, by the way.
Tacos.
Do you know what I think? Wait, I think we need to just halt this line and just say, in all things, in business and in life, progress over perfection. Is that any imperfect action is always better than inaction?
Oh, 100%. I love that. You're saying all kinds of things right now that I should turn into memes to put on our Facebook page.
I got one. You can add this to it. You can't get champagne service at Coca-Cola prices.
Mm.
When she was talking about all the stuff that they've, all the research and development and all the back room and overhead expenses that go into not even just creating it, but having the actual ingredient list that you're able to use, to able to choose from to create a certain product. I just like when she said we're a little bit higher priced, I thought somebody's complained about it and said that this is why they wouldn't do it because it costs too much.
No, like, actually I bring up price. I get very few complaints.
Oh, never mind. I assumed.
But the reason I bring up price is because look, I grew up as somebody whose parents from a very young age had a very elaborate allowance scheme and it was by necessity. My dad was a seminary professor. My mom was a nurse. And it was, this is your money and that's it. Mm. So, you know, there were some variations and ways that I could save money that would help make my money go further. But, you know, as I hated it as a child, but as a grown-up, I love it now because, you know.
And you could pass that on to your kids and they won't be little
heathens. I think you all can attest that if you make prudent choices, that the benefit of that only continues to compound.
Well, I want to bring that kind of thinking to the city because, our city is not prudent. I mean, they love spending money. They love taking it and then spending it on things that
when it's not theirs, it's easy to do.
I just want to bring this around to something I read in a leadership book. It was a series of essays for women reflecting on raising daughters, which I actually thought was sort of a silly thing. I thought it worked for not just mothers of daughters, but anybody really. But one of the things that struck with me toward the end of the book was teaching was learning that the word no just means find another way. Mm. And I think that matters in sales. So I always think if somebody said no, it's not personal. No. You know, who knows what's going on in their life. Just sort of keep presenting what the options are. We actually do now in the last 6 months, they launched a line that is a much more introductory price. And I think it's the same in government. You know, people don't always understand the complexity of governance and how expensive things are. And sometimes the bureaucracy makes it difficult to go find an alternative, less expensive way to achieve the same end. And so I would just say for you as mayor, you know, it's not, no, people can't have X, Y, and Z. You know, maybe some things have to be eliminated, but it's let's find another way to achieve whatever the outcome is that we're trying to get here. And it may not be the actual thing that people are focused on, whatever the cost was.
Exactly.
You're talking to the right guy there. I mean, that's what Adam's life is. It's just a matter of, okay, this avenue is kind of not going the way I need it to. So let's find another way to get to the end goal of where I need to go.
Yeah, pretty much. I actually, I posted this today. I've got a social media lady here that goes out and finds cool quotes and stuff and puts them on our page. But it says, it doesn't matter how great your shoes are if you don't accomplish anything in them. I like that.
We're full of quotes today. It's like, yeah, that's just like a Confucian slash beauty product.
But think about it. You know, people go out and they want to, you know, they want to look the look, right? They want to look like they're doing something, but they actually aren't doing anything. Like you got this Gucci suit.
It's interesting. I mean, and I am as vain as they come. Let me be clear. I'm not trying to act like something I'm not. But to me, it's also something that is more important than just vanity for vanity's sake. And it's confidence, right? And so if you can feel good about the company you're sourcing it from, the ingredients that are in it, and the fact that it actually works, then when you go out into the world, you've just got your face on. You know, and everybody's got their thing. It's funny, my sister-in-law will be like in her pajamas, but she'll have on like big, beautiful earrings. And that's her thing. Like that makes her feel ready for the day. So in Zoom world, nothing else matters. She's not putting on a lick of makeup. She's using her skincare, but she's not using makeup. But she's got on her big, beautiful earrings. She's ready to go. And I just laugh because I'm like, my thing, I just got to put my face on. My kids know. They're like, Mom, what does that even mean? I'm like, you don't need it. I hope you don't ever want it, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes me feel confident.
That's right.
And it's so like right, I think while that's I'm wearing jogging pants right now. That we offer is just another component of confidence in people's lives.
I like that.
Well, that's why we destroyed everybody in the freight brokerage game when we first started at TQL. It was because we knew we were going to beat you at your customer because we were going to outwork you at your customer. And that was just the mindset. So when Ken was up at 3 o'clock in the morning shooting off Vince Lombardi quotes, speaking of quotes, you get into the office and you're like, does this guy, I mean, these weren't like scheduled to be released. These are him waking up in the middle of the night, firing off a quote and having another line behind it and then going back to sleep. It's like, does this guy ever stop? You know, so like when he's like that and he doesn't back down to anybody, Claremont County, Butler County, Hamilton County, he didn't care. Kenton County, you want us? You're going to have to do this, this, and this. Claremont County eventually did, but it was like you saw that swagger every day, and that's what you took into every sales call was because, A, he's working harder than you are, and he demands that you work just as hard as he does. And B, you're like, you know what? We are kicking people's asses. Look at how quickly we are growing. I mean, we go from 30 million to 50 million to 100 million to we just did 4 billion this year.
Wow.
And it was all predicated on the culture and the idea of confidence. We are confident that we are going to outwork you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. And I think too, I mean, if you're, we talk about side hustles and we're, oh, look at you just do this and do that. Right. I mean, the trailer thing, like you and I, if we do that, I mean, not a big deal. Like we got money laying around, we could do something, right? There's a lot of people that don't have that. Right. So in order to make up for that, whatever you do have, you've got to be confident in investing that money. Like for us, it's just passive money. Like it's just this like, oh, yeah, I got some money laying around. We can try this, right? See if it works and then relay it back to other people. But there's people out there like, I mean, going out and leasing a $10,000 trailer is a lot to them. Like well, you have to have confidence.
We need to do a market study here because I don't know that Bethan knows the name of the company. And I don't know that her sense of humor is quite the same as ours.
Okay.
So we are going
and she's a lady and a classy one. So, okay, if this works with her.
We've got gold.
Yeah, we got gold here.
All right. So you're our market study here. We have this. My wife loves it.
Okay.
She's super classy.
Yeah.
And she hates my sense of humor, but she's lived with me for 18 years. So she's kind of like, I got it. We got this. We're going to buy two hydraulic lift dump trailers for contractors and roofing companies.
You hook them on the back of a truck and you take them to a place and they're doing landscape and they throw stuff in it. Yeah, or
it's kind of like the middle between.
No, we've rented dumpsters for renovations.
Right. So they're not quite dumpsters. So you don't have to have the extra. A contractor's 4x4 truck can pull these things. They're not like the big, huge industrial dumpsters. So they're called dump trailers and we're going to call our company Take a Dump.
We already did, actually.
Yeah. Take a Dump LLC.
Take a Dump LLC.
I just have to say that
she was shocked.
I have 2 10-year-olds and a 5-year-old, and my husband, like when I tell them this, they're going to all love it.
Oh,
this
good.
Will be like they will find it hilarious. And I will say that the dumpsters that we have rented are ones that are towed by just like a pickup. So I think it's a brilliant thing, and we definitely have used it. And it's also nice because when we're doing renovations, we don't need we're just renovating one bathroom in the most recent case. And we didn't need a huge dumpster, and it was just perfect because they dropped it off for a few days and then Mark demoed everything and then they hauled it away. It was brilliant.
See, there you go.
Do you like the name? Okay. Well, Allison,
it's stopping power.
I told Allison the name the first time, and she sat on it for a little bit. Then she was like, I like that. I actually think that's a funny name. I said, that's the whole point. When you're thinking,
this also the depth of my lifestyle commitments is a big issue in the world of sustainability is toilet paper. It is not sustainable.
I just watched a show where they took a missile silo and they turned it into like doomsday bunker. I'm getting there. A doomsday bunker, right? And they said, look, the guy said they only had bidets in each of the units. So you go in there and you buy this like $1 million doomsday unit. It's 12 stories down underground.
If you're buying something for $1 million, you better have a bidet in it.
It's only a bidet.
Developing countries use water. They don't use toilet
paper.
It's
only a bidet.
You go to India, they don't have toilet paper. But where I'm going with this is that there is a company that I subscribe to so that when the pandemic hit and everybody was worried about their toilet paper, I was not, because mine comes auto ship.
Oh.
And the company's name is, are you ready?
What is it?
Who gives a crap?
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
And I'll remember that. See, just like Take a Dump, you're going to remember it. Well, my doomsday bunker people, they said it wouldn't be practical to store the amount of toilet paper for the amount of time these people would need to live there. They didn't have enough space for all the toilet paper they would have to store. So they only had bidets.
When you can think that far outside, that's like 5D chess. So that's why you can charge $5 million for the bunker you make.
Yeah, because they think of everything.
Real world problems.
Dude, your company is the doomsday bunker guys. Like, but for skin
care. Mine is beauty counter.
For beauty
counter.
For beauty care. You're the doomsday bunker. For
beauty
you think
counter
of everything.
Bethan has some really nice alliteration.
Yeah, you think of everything.
I have several college classmates who, one of them just calls me. She'll be like, hey, BCB. What you got?
Well, this is good. I think that you're the first person that has come on here that is using this model as a side hustle. Outside of just the company and what you're selling, I mean, you know, it's awesome that you are selling something you believe in, you had a friend who wanted to use it. She obviously started using it for a very good reason. And it's good that you're doing something that you actually believe in. Not a lot of people can do that. I mean, do I believe in dump trailers? You know, am I passionate about dump trailers? No. But
listen, I was passionate when they hauled that stuff away.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You're doing people an important service.
We're doing God's work.
We are doing God's work. Okay.
Yes.
You sold me. Okay, now I'm passionate about it. But you know, I mean, it's you're doing something that you're passionate about, and it's a different style. How is it structured? Like, how does that work?
I think your tagline needs to be "Keep things moving."
Oh, dude, it gets better. What's the one guy's that where it's like
Jolly Plumbing?
Jolly Plumbing.
A flush beats a full house.
Yeah, a straight flush beats a full house. That is great.
Yeah, and I expect 50% off next time. I just have a service call. Jolly, I just plugged you.
There you go. Yeah, I actually use them too. Well, we just excavated my backyard, and I wish we had our dump trailers, because now I got a big chunk of concrete that we need to break up and throw in a trailer and take it to the dump. So I've got that going on right now too. I had a 200-year-old clay pipe collapse in our backyard, so that was not good. Speaking of full houses.
All right.
Sounds expensive.
Bethan, so somebody, one of our millions of listeners, one of our hundreds of listeners is is very interested in this. How do they go about becoming as a consultant? Is that the entry level?
So go to our website. My website is www.beautycounter.com. Beauty Counter is one word. And /Bethan Roberts. And that's B as in ball, E-T-H-A-N as in Nancy Roberts, just like it sounds. And click on join at the bottom. And it will just be a very quick process. And I'm happy to also have if anybody reaches out, you're welcome to give them my email address, beautycounterbethan.
Awesome. And then it'll be, we'll get some information from you and we'll put it in the show notes as well. So people can, all these links will be in there and a little bit of more information, whatever you want to provide us, we'll put in the show notes. That way people can kind of read through it and, make a decision on what they want to do. But I do like these models. Like, I'm coming around to them. Like, when we started Dot Loop, we sat in Panera Bread every weekend, right? Like almost 18 months. We were either there or we were in Matt's basement. When we were at Panera Bread, I don't know how many people tried to sell us, what is it?
Amway.
Yeah,
but the difference between Amway, besides the fact that it's a complete and utter scam, is that they're selling, like, access, they're selling a screen to get into, like, other people's products.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So I do want to make this distinction here. I think this is an important one. And that is part of the compensation plan for Beauty Counter is that you can make money purely selling the product. So that's the difference, right? Is that now, if you want to make money exponentially more, then that's where you start building a team. But I have to be honest with you, so much of my team has been people that have just come to me and said, hey, I've been watching you do this. I think I want to try. And I say, give it a shot and I'll help you as much as you want. And give you access to my team that has helped me grow. So it has been, getting back to confidence, it's not just healthy living and helping the finance, the budget, but I've seen a lot of really empowering transformations of people having a hard time and who have really come to realize their own ability and to be able to believe in this in themselves because of their work with Beauty Counter.
That's awesome.
I'd like to leave it at that because it was heartwarming.
I know.
I really appreciate your time, Bethan. It's good to talk to you. It's been, we graduated in
20 years.
Not yet. Not yet. Holding strong. We're still at 18.
I know. It's funny. My husband has a great sense of humor, but it becomes less funny when you hear it in the real world. So when I turned 40 last year and he taught all of our kids to refer to me as the old bag.
Oh,
it's just funny when like we're at the store or something, all in our masks, of course. And they're like, it'll come up and people are like,
oh no. Yeah. That's when you get exiled to the couch.
He's a very
the
nice
front
man.
Porch in the it winter.
Was it was funny when it was just us. It becomes less funny when it's in public.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it gets embarrassing at that point. You're like, oh, shut up, kids. Shut up. Yeah.
That's when I get Allison.
This is an inside joke. This is a house joke.
It's not good for business. Old bag is not good for business.
No, it's not.
Exfoliated. You're an old bag, but you look like a new bag.
Yeah. And you guys send me your home addresses and I'll send you guys some samples.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. Great. All right. Well, my wife's going to have some stuff to use and check out. That'll be good.
Yep. Good luck on your campaign.
Oh, Kyle, I appreciate
it. It was really nice to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do what I can. We'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
All right, Bethan.
See you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Honest.